This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In the meantime, it's 7:11 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We are going to turn to our next story, which is about how making East Malaysia an economic hub might boost the national economy. So Sabah Chief Minister Datuk Seri Panglima Shafiq Abdal says that this could make Malaysia more competitive, and he highlighted a few reasons why. So as we know, both Sabah and Sarawak are rich in resources. They're also strategically located closer to trading partners like China compared to the peninsula. And if the federal government can capitalise on these advantages, then the country would benefit on a few fronts. So if East Malaysia's agricultural sector is developed, we could increase our country's food security and also become a regional exporter of food. And the government could also lower the cost of exporting goods if Sabah and Sarawak are turned into trade hubs. And on top of the economic implications, it's also important to know what it would mean for East Malaysia's domestic image, because historically, and this is something we hear time and again, East Malaysia have been perceived to be sidelined by the federal government. More often than not, they've been viewed as a source of oil revenue, a tourist hub, a vote bank. So in many ways, Datuk Sri Shafiq's suggestions could open new doors on both the state and federal levels. And I think it's a crucial conversation to be had, because the more economic hubs, the better. It's a simplistic thing to say, but I think it's true. So we are going to be speaking after this with Raizal Shah, political lecturer at UITM Sabah. But if you'd like to share your thoughts on this proposal from Sabah's chief minister to make East Malaysia an economic hub, from the point of view of just, you know, trade and exports, but also agriculture, you can let us know. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bombing frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
It is 7:15 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're talking now about an idea that was put forth by Sabah Chief Minister Datuk Seri Panglima Shafiq Abdal to make East Malaysia an economic hub in order to make Malaysia more competitive as a whole and boost the economy. Again, if you'd like to share any thoughts you might have, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're crossing over now to Raizal Shah, political scientist and policy analyst from UITM Sabah. Raizal, it's good to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you, Lynn.
So overall, what do you make of this suggestion from the Chief Minister? Is it one that's been made before?
Well, I thank you for having me on BFM. This idea, the suggestions about making Sabah or making Borneo as an economic hub is something that has been said by the previous government before, but I think Shafiq has mentioned about this a few months when Warisan came into power. So it's not something that is new. But I would like to highlight the fact that several years ago, a few civil societies, I was lucky to be part of this group, where we tried to push these ideas of creating what we call at that time was Borneo Economic Agenda. It's basically we try to push these ideas of integrating the whole of Borneo Island, which consists of Brunei, we have Sarawak, and then five provinces of Kalimantan. The idea was, was coined like several years ago, but I think recently Shafiq considered this rather seriously. Due to a lot of factors, I think unemployment, about the current economic situation in Sabah. So he sees that this is an opportunity for Sabah to not to rely too much on the peninsula or our brother and sister in Semenanjung, because that has always been the case in Sabah. A lot of these policies were devices by the federal government. So we just follow everything what the government, federal government, in terms of economic policies, whatever policies that they introduce. So I think it's about time that Sabah takes stock of their own economic futures rather than relying on the Semenanjung market.
So while we're talking about the economy, we're seeing unemployment and job loss emerging as one of the biggest issues this year. What can you tell us about the situation with employment or unemployment in East Malaysia? And do you think this plan or something like it would help to address that?
Yes, I think the ideas of why we should integrate the Borneo economy is, number one, is definitely tied up to unemployment. Now, before I go into that, we have to know that if you combine the whole Borneo Island, the population itself is almost, it is more than two-thirds of the populations of the entire Malaysia, which is roughly around 23 to 24 million, all over Borneo Island. So there is vast market there for Sabah to penetrate into the market there, to expand their downstream activities, because I think part of the problems in Sabah and also Sarawak to a certain extent is the economic activity is very quite limited in Sabah. I've mentioned earlier that we rely so much on peninsulas, a lot of young people, so professional people, young graduates from Sabah went to Semenanjung to find jobs there because there's none here. Why? Because the market is such small market, there's no job opportunities. The SME is not growing rapidly as it should be. So therefore, by expanding the market, integrating the whole Borneo Island, it would present various opportunities for Sabah and also Sarawak and also all the five provinces in Kalimantan for both upstream and downstream activities. The key word here is expanding the market in Sabah. Now, the problem in Sabah now and also in the past is over-reliance on certain economic sectors. I'll give you one example, tourism. There's so much reliance or dependence on tourism industries. And once the pandemic comes in, look what happened to Sabah. And to make things even worse, our tourism sector in Sabah rely heavily so much from tourists from China. Tourist China alone, I believe, accounted to 70 to 80% of foreign tourists that came into Sabah. So by creating this Borneo hub, it would expand the market not only to China, but also in Kalimantan.
So in practical terms, what would the Borneo hub, I suppose, look like? How would it operate?
Now, this is one of the, I think, challenges or issues that basically attach with any free open market, okay? Whether you look at EU's or any free market models. I think there is a concern. When I mentioned earlier that I was part of this civil society, we have reached out to business communities, we have reached out to various stakeholders, both from Sabah and also from Kalimantan, specifically from North Kalimantan and also from East Kalimantan. Among the concern was there is this concern about what would be the makeup of the economy, how it is going to be, what sort of economies that we're going to see, whether each side's going to lose. Or what sort of, or is it going to impact each businesses? These are the concerns of the businesses, but they do acknowledge that there's a lot of potential in both sides. Whether in Kalimantan, they see a lot of potential in Sabah and Sarawak, and so does businesses and business community in Sabah. See, there's a lot of potential there, but the problem is they don't specifically know. For example, I give a simple example: agriculture. There's a lot of opportunities when it comes to agriculture on both sides. Both have their own competitive advantages. But what sort of agriculture activities are we talking about? Is it upstream or downstream? Even if you talk about downstream, what sort of downstream activities? So it's all down to the nitty-gritty kind of thing. And this is where the government should come in. Unfortunately, when we tried to promote this concept several years ago, I think at that time, the state government at that time, there were more concerns, or their focus is more on China. I know, and focus on palm oil and so on. So they don't see like Kalimantan as a market that at that time worth exploring. But now, I think Shafi has mentioned when he visited, I think 6 or 7 months after he came into power, he had visited North Kalimantan and then East Kalimantan. And he did mention about setting up a sort of like a committee, I think, or council, where they want to look at in detail on both sides, on Sabah and also Kalimantan, in areas on where we can concentrate and focus and see how it goes from there on. But my point is, we, the government, the state government and also the federal government, must start pursuing these agendas of focusing on the growth in Borneo Island, because Borneo has been abandoned for far too long. And ironically, it's not only happened to Sabah and Sarawak. And this is also the perceptions that have been faced by people in Kalimantan. People in Java Island, when you mentioned the word Kalimantan, people in Java Island from Sulawesi or Sumatra, they see Kalimantan as backwater. People still live in the tree. There's nothing there. It's just tree. There's nothing there, basically. So it's the same thing that some of our brother and sister, unfortunately, in Peninsula, when they mentioned about Sabah and Sarawak, they thought that, oh, there's only trees there. There's nothing. Economic activity is not. It's not as rapid as what they envision it to be. So I think this is some of the perceptions by the government several years ago, and hopefully the government can look at this more seriously and try to focus more on Borneo. But there are a few challenges there in terms of, for example, number one, by putting a lot of infrastructure. I think infrastructure is one of the key issues. But for your information, for the past 4 years, I think, the whole Kalimantan under Jokowi presidency, Jokowi has given a lot of autonomy to all these provinces. In fact, he gave a lot of autonomy to all these provinces in Kalimantan. It's quite funny because they are not federal country that practice federal system, but they give a lot of autonomy to these provinces for them to chart their own economic plan. So what you see was, for the past 3-4 years, they have built what is known as Trans Kalimantan, linking all the major cities in Kalimantan up until Tarakan. Tarakan is nearby the east coast city of Tawau. So it's just quite nearby. So just imagine if Trans Kalimantan completed within the next 4 or 5 years, and then Pen Borneo proceed as planned within these next 4 years, the whole Borneo Island will be connected. But of course, road is one issue. There's also a lot of infrastructures that, capital expenditures that the government have to put in as far as the infrastructure concerned, in order to ensure that business flow can happen more efficiently and effectively.
Mm. And we've been talking quite a bit about agriculture, although as you rightly point out, you know, it's a little bit vague in terms of what the government's plans actually are for East Malaysia. But we are also seeing an era that's highly geared towards digitalization, advancing tech. With that said, how would investing in our natural resources in East Malaysia fare? Would you hope to see, I guess, an even distribution of priorities?
Yes. That's when you talk about fund, especially from the federal government, I think the issue has always been about priorities, whether they can set aside a lot of funds for Sabah. That's what one of the issues that happened for several years. They're not willing to invest a lot of money into some of this infrastructure. I'll give you one example before I go on into about this high-tech or agriculture. One of the platform in integrating economic activity between Indonesia and Malaysia is Sosek Melindo. I'm sure you know about Sosek Melindo. One of the resolutions achieved during this one of the meeting or conference they had, I think it was 10 years ago, was for North Kalimantan to build a stretch of road linking up until their border, which is at Simangaris. That's the name of the place. So they have done that. But unfortunately, the federal government, for I don't know whatever reason, decided not to build on our side of the border, which is on Serudong. Mm. It's only like 30 kilometers. But Indonesian government, they have done that. The federal government not willing to spend money on that. I think it's only cost them, about, at that time, 10 years ago, it should be around 20 to 30 million just to upgrade the road, to ensure that the lorry, the transport can go through easily. But they haven't done that. So it's about priority. I agree with you. It's about priority. And now with all the a lot of fund being set aside for relief purposes and to inject help businesses in overcoming this pandemic, I'm worried that the government, the federal government specifically, are not willing to invest that money because for them it is not priority now because of the pandemic. But again, if it's not now, then when? So it's something that really concerns most of business community. We have engaged with various business chambers in Sabah, and their concern is basically number one is infrastructure, whether it's the road that connect the Sabah side with the Kalimantan and the rest of Borneo, and whether it's ITs and so on. These are the major issue in Sabah. Those in Kalimantan, they have expressed their eagerness in the transfer of technology, especially for Malaysia. Even though Sabah is, in terms of technology, is not that advanced, but we have our brother and sister from Peninsula. This is where they come in, and to assist Sabah in transferring this technology to Kalimantan. We have specific requests by people in Kalimantan, specifically on agricultures, in the AIC, for example, and then and other, I think it's there are a few areas within agriculture where they're really keen on having Malaysia to share their share our technology with them. So, but again, it's all back to G2G, government to government, and priority whether they will push for this or not.
Rahizal, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
You're welcome.
You just heard Rahizal Shah, political lecturer and policy analyst from UiTM Sabah, talking to us about the possibility of Borneo becoming Malaysia's next economic hub. We have to hustle along, unfortunately, to the 7:30 news. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.